Okay, we'll go live. Okay, it is 6:01 p.m. on Tuesday, October 14th, 2025. We will call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Middleton, absent. Varga.
Here.
Romano.
Here.
Tweedle.
Here.
Fockelman's absent.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on September 23rd. I did give a couple of corrections to Leslie. I'm going to try to remember what those are. I think one of them was
under Chip's
report. You got to find it real quick.
The company name. It's like
HWC Engineering. Yep. And then there was also, I think, a clarification
on yours.
On mine regarding the. Oh, there we go. Yeah, regarding the mixture of the amphitheater and the downtown plan project. So you may have noticed, if you get the paper, that they kind of mix things together and said we were building a downtown amphitheater. That's not in the plan. So, but I think that some of that came from me talking about multiple projects at one time. So I just asked for a bit of a clarification in there that in the paragraph that starts, Mayor Daniel commented on the amphitheater and downtown plan projects. He shared that there's preliminary estimates presented by JPR Engineering Firm about the amphitheater at Evo Park. So, just to be clarified, that's the only. I think that's all I suggested. So, any other changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion. All those in favor should be the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is swearing in of our new firefighter, Thomas.
Proud to call forward Landon Tim to come get sworn in before the council and the community. He's going to be a great asset to our department. We're very proud of him.
I, Landon Tim,
swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
And impartially.
Impartially.
Discharge my duties.
Discharge my duties.
As a Columbia City firefighter.
As a Columbia City firefighter.
Of the City of Columbia City.
Of the City of Columbia City.
According to the law.
According to the law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Yes, that's fine. If you and your parents want to come up and get pictures with Tom, I don't know why you'd want to, but if you want to, feel free to do that, or whoever else would like to. Your whole family.
Are
you good with any of that?
And Mike Shoto.
Mike Shoto.
Go on in there, Mike Shoto.
Mike Shoto. Jump right in, buddy.
I know it. We have adopted Mike Shoto.
Do you want the flag in the background?
Sure, let's do that.
I don't know.
Can they get one?
I don't know.
Chairs.
Yeah. Block our names. Hey, Dan. Dan.
Dan, you're the ledge.
Dan, you're
okay, so I'm going to get out the
phone. Okay, I only got one.
Hey, I need another one.
Oh, you better stay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Wait.
You too safe.
We're staying.
You can smile.
Nice.
Yeah, Brad, gosh, smile, dude.
All right, hold on a second. Okay.
Tom, we stay there. I'm going to print one. I like to print one for Landon, and then I'll laminate it, and then what's up one. And whoever else he wants to take a picture with him. Thank you.
You can always crop down there.
Yeah.
You want a picture with anyone else?
Grandma's grandma. I think it'll be okay.
Really dressed for the part.
Like mom is either. 80 degrees outside and she's wearing a sweatshirt.
All right, do you care if I get one more with Zach?
Why don't you let him in a picture?
Yeah, right. He did that. He told me everything.
Yeah.
All three.
Simultaneously.
Glasses off the head. Try it again.
Zach, Tom's not your boss.
Thank you.
Tom's not your boss.
It's true.
Thank you guys.
Well, I thought it would look better.
Thank you everybody for coming.
Thank you guys.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you gotta have a card. It's a special card.
Okay,
now we have a litany of ordinances and resolutions. So we'll start off with ordinance 2025-13. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance 2025-13 by title only.
Ordinance 2025-13, ordinance amending Chapter 156, Control of Post-Construction Stormwater Runoff of Title 15 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
As a reminder, two meetings ago, John Goetz was here to describe and explain actually both this and the next ordinance regarding stormwater runoff, which is mainly driven by the state of Indiana and IDEM and US EPA, blah, blah, blah. So, in any case, any questions regarding Ordinance 2025-13? Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-13 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is Ordinance 2025-15. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read Ordinance 2025-15 by title only.
Ordinance 2025-15. An ordinance amending Chapter 56, illicit discharge in connection to the municipal stormwater system of Title 5 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia, Indiana.
Once again, this is part of that conversation that John Goetz had with us two meetings ago regarding storm drainage and the provisions that the state and federal government have basically mandated we put into place as a part of a storm, as a part of the overall MS4 community that we are. So, any questions, comments, concerns about that? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve? Oh, I've lost it. Can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-15 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, next up is ordinance 2025-19. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Of those present, please read ordinance 2025-19 by title only.
Ordinance 2025-19, an ordinance amending Chapter 97, Streets and Sidewalks of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
So I'm going to try to make this short and sweet, which is for a long time, we have been enforcing Indiana code effectively, or at least Indiana precedent that has said that individuals between their property and the right-of-way, if you will, that individuals who own the property have to maintain the right-of-way. However, it's the opinion of both our code enforcement officer as well as our city attorney that we really need to put that into our ordinances to basically solidify what we've been doing for years. And there's case law that backs this up, if you will. But this was actually created, Marcia and Scott, in conjunction with one another to be able to basically ensure that when we're enforcing law that it's our law as well. Let's say it that way. So.
And more specifically called out.
Yes.
Didn't really do that.
Right. Exactly. So it's more specific. It does lay out kind of here's the responsibilities of property owners, which again is something we've been doing for years. We just haven't had it specifically in our ordinances. So between the two of them, they thought we needed to really put it into ordinance form. So Gary, I'm sorry.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah. Gary, do you have anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah. Actually, I was trying to look that ordinance up here real quick. Yeah. That goes to the street, correct?
I believe it goes to the, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because sometimes it says they have to maintain it, like our right-of-way goes way up into their yard. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I want to make sure it goes all the way to the street.
Yeah, so it says, so it says for unimproved right-of-ways from the abutting property boundary to the center line of the right-of-way, and for improved streets from the abutting property boundary to the edge of street pavement, curb, or alley stone, including green space, blah, blah, blah.
I just want to make sure somebody didn't say, well, right away is up to here. I'm stopping right here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now we got a mess.
And Chip, this actually would pertain to Hannah Street that we've talked about in the past, just for the record. So maybe.
We'll talk about that.
Okay, that's fine. I just to bring it to your attention. Mm-hmm.
Well, and to Gary's point, I think when we were discussing this, that's what someone was saying, right? That they didn't have to do it.
Because it's not their property.
Not had to go all the way up to the street.
Right. So they up to the sidewalk, but not to the street side?
Something like
there
to the ditch, right, Gary?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And so that's why. Yeah.
Which again is really what there's case law at the state of Indiana that we've been enforcing, if you will. But I get you. Okay. Any other questions regarding 2025-19? Have a motion to approve ordinance 2025-19 on first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Jennifer. Further discussion. All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. We'll move it to second reading at the next meeting. Resolution 2025-16. Can I have a motion to read resolution number 2025-16 by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion. All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read resolution number 2025-16 by title only.
Resolution 2025-16, a resolution of the Common Council of the City of Columbia City regarding the capital assets policy. And I can speak to this. We just went through our 2023-2024 audit, and we have an asset book that's probably this thick and probably not quite up to date. So it was brought to our attention by the State Board of Accounts that right now our amount for assets that we start at is $1,000, and they said that is extremely low. So we've reached out to the accountants, Crone, and they also said, yep, that's very low. Buzz advised that we should at least be at $10,000. So that's what I'm asking for approval on, that we change our asset values to $10,000. Anything that the department heads and myself would feel that we would need to have that's under the $10,000, we have the approval, though, to put it as an asset. So I'm asking for the approval from 1,000 to 10.
Thank you. Any questions from council? Are you cleaned up? I'm sorry.
So does this go on the balance sheet then, or?
This is what we would list as a fixed asset.
Okay.
Okay, so it's not going out to purchase.
I can't hear you.
It's not going out to purchase.
No, it's just what we already have that's valued at this amount or below, that it goes in our fixed assets versus a...
Okay, and theoretically that would shrink the size of this...
book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody's...
I have PBT that costs like $1,100. I can put them on there.
Yeah.
But
the PBT is being portable...
Breadth test.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but the, so those fixed assets, when we go to do bonding and everything, does that count against that then? If those aren't,
I don't know. No, I don't think
no,
so.
We asked the accountant. Sorry.
No, you're.
We did ask the accountant several different questions, and he said it may affect the depreciation a little bit when we're filing everything, but based upon what we're up against currently at $1,000, they said that. We'd be silly not to increase anything because okay. Nothing else will be affected by this.
Okay. So
other than it's going to be a lot less headache for the department heads, a lot easier for our office to be able to track the assets, because sometimes we have assets that we don't always know that we have as an asset.
Because of the $1,000 limit.
Because of the $1,000 limit, yes. So if somebody were to get a new piece of equipment, Matt, you got the field scraper last year, the drag. Thank mm-hmm. you. It was over the $10,000 limit, right? So we would want that as a fixed asset. But Mike, I think some of your equipment with like $3,000, we wouldn't necessarily need to list that as a fixed asset unless Mike felt that, yep, it truly needs to be on the list.
Does he keep track of it in his own inventory?
No. Well, the department heads are required to fill out a report. So we have a report that we put together. I've actually revised it, made it a lot easier, so it's actually PDF fillable. I'll send it to you guys, to where you're going to list your asset. You already have the list of your assets and should be updating those to give to Katie. But you'll list the asset if it's a new purchase or if it's replacing a current asset. We need to know that, obviously, so that we can change everything out. And then we keep that for the State Board of Accounts.
Okay.
Because we do have to upload that into the gateway.
Is that for insurance purposes and everything else, so that they have those documented, I assume?
Well, insurance is a little bit different because we have a blanket coverage.
Oh, okay.
But this is truly, we have to upload all of our fixed assets into the gateway so the State Board of Accounts will see those.
Okay.
When we go through the audit.
So more than anything else, it's really an accounting for the State Board so that they can see, okay, here's the cash side, but here's the the property of the fixed asset side, if you will. So it really is, it's an accounting for what we have effectively, or what we've purchased that are long-term things, if you will. But
okay. So you still want to sell the nickels and dimes.
Right. So even talking to the State Board of Accounts today, they were saying that they went to a town that has less than 1,000 residents, very small, and their limit was higher than 1,000. They were already at 5,000. So we're definitely behind the times on increasing the assets. I know the guys would probably appreciate not having to do $1,000 all the time. So,
but maybe to answer the question, they do have the listings, and
they have their own internal
okay. stuff where they account for those things as a piece of equipment. But as for not that there's $1,000 shovels, but like I'm just giving examples of these little things that while $1,000 is a lot of money, don't get me wrong, it is a lot of money, we can burn through $1,000 worth of chemicals really, really quickly at the wastewater plant, right? We can burn through $1,000 worth of probably chlorine gas fairly quickly at the water plant, right? So, like, it's one of those things to make a balancing act of having accountability for the small stuff, but really from a state perspective, ensuring that we're accounting for what they want us to account for.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's a little money.
And it's non-depreciating until you replace it or get rid of it. So we have to keep track of the concrete behind the firehouse. It's on my fixed assets.
Okay.
In case someone takes it?
Yes. Nobody would know.
Jack can't rip it up.
Nobody takes it up.
Any other questions regarding the resolution?
No.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve resolution 2025-16?
So moved.
Okay. Motion by Tad, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Last up, I think, in the resolution parade here is resolution number 2025-18. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read resolution 2025-18 by title only.
Resolution 2025-18, a resolution of the Common Council of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, adopting Indiana Code 5-23 and taking certain other actions related thereto.
Okay, so this is the resolution regarding the BOT that I talked about last time. As I had mentioned last time, last meeting, historically speaking, the city has taken on the approach of the design bid build process for procurement, meaning that we design a project, we put it out for bid, and then we build it. And a lot of times, the builder is not the engineer, and so they'll come to the engineer and say, hey, how you engineered this doesn't exactly work in practicality of how we built it. And so now we need a change order. Guess who gets stuck with that bill? We do, right? Meanwhile, we also have a timeline situation where it is an extended time frame to do design bid build, because now you're working with lots of individuals, you're going through the procurement for every single piece of that process. It just becomes cumbersome. And so my suggestion last time, and that's what this resolution is about, is to go the BOT route, which is build, operate, transfer. Basically what this means in a nutshell is that the city will effectively do a request for qualifications and proposals, and we'll select a firm. Then we'll negotiate with that firm and then officially select a firm. And that firm will go through the design and come up with a maximum guaranteed price. And at the maximum guaranteed price, anything over that amount that is not something we've directed, meaning, oh, hey, we want to change these lights to a nicer light style or something like that, that would be an us directed. But anything that's not us directed, any change orders that happen, they eat that cost as long as it's over the maximum guaranteed price. Okay? Anything that's under the maximum guaranteed price, we negotiate how that savings is split. Okay? Further with the BOT process, and basically with that firm that we hire, if you will, that they and we would do, like I said, qualification-based selection, is that they're able to go specifically to individual contractors for the electrical, for the water, for the piping, let's say, for the construction materials, for the landscaping, for all that kind of stuff. And so instead of maybe having one firm that has these two or three specific subcontractors that they always use, now it's something where they can literally go out and bid every little piece of that at the same time to get the best price for us and certainly for them. Further, I guess I would say, kind of along that route, by the way, I did put up the Eagle Park Phase 1B, which is the amphitheater, in a few pieces. It's also in your box, but I put it up for public sake, so give me 1 second while I move the camera over so the public can see it, who may or may not be watching on YouTube. Effectively, this is the kind of conceptual design that we have for the amphitheater. Just to give you some real kind of perspective here, up here, basically right there, that is the swing that's already built. And the two additional swing sets that are called for in the kind of concept document, if you will. Two-sided amphitheater, one side, which would be the Whitley Street facing side, the left side of the screen. That would be the smaller amphitheater side, the smaller kind of, we'll say ground level side, where individuals can, we can host little get-togethers. You can actually have probably a wedding in that kind of green space lawn. Lots of different activities available in that lawn space on the east side. I'm sorry, west side of that building. I apologize. West side. On the east side is the larger amphitheater. That's for the larger big concert type things. And I'm sorry?
Foreigner.
For Foreigner or Journey or Styx or Aria or any of those great classic rock bands. But you'll see there is a space, built out there for ADA accessibility. There's space for terraced, kind of terraced lawn seating as a piece there. And then that larger area that's circular in between the sidewalks there, that larger area would be effectively grass lawn space. And then the kind of the cool thing about how this is designed is that once the actual full project is completed, the roadway that currently bisects the property north to south, right next to the pickleball courts and the track and all that kind of stuff, that roadway eventually will go away, and you'll have athletic fields behind there, which will also be able to be overflow space. If we really do want to bring in a national act, there will be space to be able to do that. So again, it's conceptual design. It's not final design yet, but ultimately that's kind of where we're thinking. So the BOT, again, would be a scenario where we would hire a firm to kind of handle everything from basically here to the end of construction until they give us the keys. They can also do financing piece and all that kind of stuff. The last thing maybe I'll say about this is, which I really like about BOT, is that we can mandate local contractors. So if we, with the BOT, we can, when we, you know, assumingly, if we hire the firm to come in and run the project for us effectively, we can say we want local electric. We want, you know, local grading contractors. We want local landscapers. And by local, we can define that. Is that Whitley County? Is it Northeast Indiana? Is it Indiana? Whatever the case is. So we have a lot more control over those pieces instead of just saying, hey, you're the lowest bidder. Here you go. Go ahead and build the project. It's a little bit more specialized, if you will. And just kind of for information, because this is a new endeavor for us, I know Chip and I have really had to kind of, and Marcia too, by the way, have really had to kind of baptize ourselves a little bit in the BOT process because it is unique to design, bid, build. And I will say it is becoming a favored process with lots of cities. And in Northeast Indiana alone, Auburn has gone through it or is going through it, and Garrett is also going through it right now. So there is now more and more communities that are accepting the BOT process because of the speed and because of the flexibility of the process, and certainly the no change order thing is a massive thing for us. So open to answer questions that you have about that. The first step of the process is that the council basically passes a resolution, says, yes, we're going to adopt what Indiana Code says is the BOT process. So that's what this resolution is.
Yeah. So after, let's say, everything's done and it comes in under budget, who is the arbitrator in the negotiation to make sure that it's amiable and fair for both parties?
So that will be laid. So after we get the guaranteed maximum price, before they put one stake in the ground, after we agree upon the guaranteed maximum price, there will be a contract written that will state all of that stuff from the outset. So before the contract is even, before anything is built, we will have a contract that will negotiate those terms of what is that savings percentage for each of us. Because ultimately, both parties will actually end up benefiting
from
that savings, right?
Yeah.
So, but the other side of that is we also don't want to cheapskate it either. We want it to be a long-term solid facility long-term. So, yeah. Okay. So, does that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Okay. I know it's a new concept. I'm sure there will be BOT sessions at AIM if you guys are going to AIM, so that may be a good thing to go look at. But in any case, there will be more. We'll talk more about this as we go forward. But this is kind of the first step from Marcia that we need to pass this in order to do this process. One other thing I should have said, and I'm sorry, I know I've talked a lot. One other thing I should have said is that, of course, we've been using JPR to do this part design for, you know, since 2020, basically, when we designed the Eagle Park as a whole. And one thing they have told us is that that because of the uniqueness of our amphitheater, which I've said from the start, we need to have something that you can find in Auburn or Angola or blocked in or Decatur, right? We need to have it unique to Columbia City. One thing, if you look at the picture that I really personally like, it's kind of an Easter egg, is that the amphitheater kind of looks like an eagle, an abstract eagle a little bit, which I think is, if you look at the beak and the wings on the right-hand side and the tail feathers on the left-hand side. So it'll be more, when there's more depth and context, you'll see it, I promise. But anyways, there's little pieces along the way. You know how I like Easter eggs.
I do like Easter eggs.
So, yes. So I just say that to say, I know that one of the things that JPR has told us is that the fabrication of some of the pieces are going to take some time. So I'm not saying we're in a rush, but we're trying to move this project forward so that hopefully we can have it where the goal is to have the first concert hopefully in the summer of 27. That's the goal. So
theoretically, it's not going to get cheaper.
And that's the other thing. Yes, prices are not necessarily going to go down unless we have some kind of an economic downturn, which God forbid that happens. But that would also impact our food and beverage tax funds, which obviously would be a part of the financing of this project. So it's a, yeah. So I know I've talked a lot. Questions that you guys have? Thoughts? Any ideas? Okay. You have any questions? Okay. Okay. So with that, let me get out of this then. Okay, so can I have a motion to approve resolution number 2025-18?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you for that. We will start working on that. So. Okay. Okay, I think next up is the policy changes, Gary. I think that's you.
My name is Gary Parrott, 112 South Johnson. I'm here on behalf of Beth. We've been working on some extensive policy changes for the police department, trying to get things up to date. For the last two decades, we've worked on a 28-day, 171 hours, which pretty much you had to always work 11 hours overtime just to get any kind of at gap pay, just to get overtime. So, and at one point, we had nothing for that. Anything we worked over was nothing. So anything, we've done some good things. Thanks to the mayor. Thanks to the council. We're actually changing it to a 14-day, 80-hour work schedule. We have filled the proper paperwork out, form in with the clerk's office. So I can just read you. It's 4.4, work scheduling. It says police officers shall work. And then 14 days, 80-hour work period before overtime applies. The chief of police will determine the actual work schedule. So actually, that goes along with part of my update here. As of October 1st, we transitioned to a 12/8-hour work schedule. It's working well. We have coverage that has improved. We used to have like a minimum of 2 on. Now we got 3 on a lot of times. Officers seem to be happier with the new structure. We've also made changes in the command staff and detective positions, which has created a fresh start. It's brought renewed energy to the department. It's great to see everyone embracing the change and maintaining a positive work ethic. So things are going good, but we got to get these policies up to date. And that's one of them. So you guys, I try to put these in how they were listed in the thing. So.
Yeah, so first thing we have is our work scheduling there, which I think you discussed already.
Yep.
Any questions regarding the work scheduling change? Okay, thank you.
Next one.
Pay periods.
Oh, sorry. What's that?
No, I was going to say pay periods.
Yeah. Yep. So the next one is pay periods. It's for the daylight savings time. That's changed like a year or so ago. Caused a lot of havoc throughout the department. Trying to get that squared away so it's in policy. Springtime change. Any employee who is working during the spring, daylight savings time change will be paid for actual work hours of 7 hours. However, and this says the employee, but I'm going to ask Beth to change this to the chief, the deputy chief or the designee may offer options to come in an hour early or an hour late or use personal vacation or flex time to make up that hour. The employee supervisor shall approve in advance the employee's selection. And then in the fall, time change, you'll obviously be paid 9 hours. And if that creates overtime, it's overtime. So, any employee working during the fall, daylight savings time change of time will be compensated for a total hours of 9 hours.
So effectively, the issue is that when you have somebody who's working when the clock changes or springs forward, they lose an hour in their
Correct.
Effectively in their pay or their schedule, right?
Right.
So you're giving in the springtime, you're giving them the option to either come in an hour or
stay
an hour later so that they can get the full pay, if
right.
you will, of that. If you will.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair accommodation.
100%. And then last is bereavement pay. So since we went to this 12-hour schedule, 5.8 bereavement leave, there's obviously we got to make it align with the 12 hours, so we made some changes in there. However, I did talk to Beth today and Leslie on number one here. It says all employees shall receive up to 7 consecutive days of paid leave within 9 days, 8 hours for police, and then 4 hours for 12-hour consecutive work. So we need to change that to 5, and I did talk to Beth and Leslie about that, because when I seen that, I was like, 4 days don't work. So here's our actually work schedule. So to take 7 days off, you at least get 5 days instead of 4 days to be able to get the 7 consecutive days. So that's just going to be a minor change. I think Beth said Leslie just has to initial that mm-hmm. if you guys approve that. For number one. Number two, that works out well. Same. I mean, that's accurate. The 3 days will make up the 5 days. And then on number three, for 2 days, it says for 3 consecutive days, 2 days at 12 hours. Well, they work a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so that doesn't work. So we need to put 3 in there. So it covers if someone passes on Friday, they're covered for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So,
yeah.
So then number four is 1 day for 1 day. So.
Didn't we just change this like a couple months ago?
Well, yes, we did. That was before the police said we would pay 12 hours. Yeah, so, they had to be 12.
So here I am again.
No, I'm just kidding.
So that's the three policies I have.
Questions of Gary on the policy change?
Just excited to see how well this helps with the officers. And
I have had a couple officers come to me and tell me they're loving it, so it's good.
Give it a shot.
Yeah. And I mean, you want to just give your report while you're up? I mean, you've already given half of it.
So. Well, that'd be great, because we got another call I got to kind of go to.
Okay.
So if I can do that, that'd be awesome.
I'll give you that.
All right, so tornado sirens, kind of going to be the death of me here, is what I said earlier. During installation of the sirens themselves on the top, they've noticed during installation, they discovered that the battery boxes were rusting and the batteries were starting to fall out and all that stuff. So we've ordered new boxes. We're waiting, the lead time and the delivery of them. So who knows when they're supposed to be shipped, the 1st of October. Here we are. The 14th, and we got no ship date, so we're waiting on those. I did speak to Sean. He's going to help us install those. We did get quotes to get those installed, and they were like $4,000 each, so it would have been $8,000 plus to install them. Sean said that we could do them. He could help us out. He could get them installed. It matters. We looked at it. There's just two wires that come into the box and then spread off to each battery, so kind of crazy to me that it's cost $4,000, but I think I could probably do it myself. So Sean was willing to step up and help us out, so I appreciate him doing that. We did take 4 applicants to Indy for the psychological and the physical testing. That's a 10 to 14 day waiting process. We took them on the 7th, but it's 10 to 14 day business day, so we're waiting on them. Again, hopefully everything comes back good for that and we can get them started. Community events, the public safety festival went well. was a great event. Special thanks to Ashley for organizing it. We're now gearing up for the Skeleton Festival, which is happening this weekend. So lots of things going on every weekend in downtown Columbia City, so here we are. I told you about the going to 12-hour shifts. Sergeant Calhoun has submitted his letter of resignation and will be transitioning into the private sector for new employment opportunities. We're going to miss him dearly. Wanted to sincerely thank him for his service and the contributions he'd given to the department. We hope the next chapter of his life is both successful and fulfilling. Would like to open up a lateral process, which the Board of Works gave me that permission. So I'll be doing that here in the near future. And then this, obviously I'm working on other benefits like the personal vacation with Beth and Sally on the, you know, to accommodate 12-hour shifts, similar to what the fire department does for their 24-hour shifts. So that's all I have right now.
Questions of Gary?
All right. Dismissed. May I be?
You are dismissed.
Yes.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the policy changes as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Let me make sure it's clear. So I said as presented, meaning as he presented with those changes that are not necessarily noted. So, but yes, that's okay. Okay. Just make sure I'm clear. Further discussion. All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present.
Okay. You want to work on that first before we go on?
We can.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't scan it.
That's okay.
We're simple,
okay. So as we've done in past years, and as you know, we are a growing community, and so we have the ability to do an excess levy appeal, which basically says, hey, because of our growth, we should have some ability to flex that maximum growth quotient, if you will, in our tax levy. Thus Crone's office has put together the excess levy appeal. It's been accepted effectively, right? It's been accepted with their approval.
It will be accepted with this,
with this,
and then we have to get that submitted to State Board of Accounts for if the deadline is the 20th, so Monday.
So as a reminder, they do a 3-year growth factor, and it depends on how your growth is. Obviously, we've been a growing community, so we have some ability to flex that, especially now with the caps and the decrease in the amount of money we're going to have. We are able to do a 3-year growth factor, so that ends up being about an additional $293,000, which is a big deal for us. That's a little more than we lost or were expecting to lose, so I won't say we're quite even, but we haven't approved it yet. We haven't approved it yet. I'm just explaining. We passed that down so they can all see that. I just want to make sure you guys can see it before it's voted on. So
you have a little bit more context. This is the reason we just found this out last Friday,
mm-hmm.
That we're eligible for this. So obviously, the $293,000 is a big deal. Thus the reason why we made the calls last week to push the adoption of the budget back to next Friday, so that because we had to go in and update all the forms on the State Board of Accounts and meet the timelines, and so I appreciate everyone being available to move everything around, because the day that we are going to adopt the budget is the last day that we can, so we will be submitting everything right after that meeting. So we're kind of down to a crunch, but felt that it was necessary to do.
So apologize for the late notice on that. I know that the clerk's office had reached out months ago to have this worked on and just didn't get a response back till Friday. So in any case.
Do you need this back?
Yeah, I do. So I know the resolution number.
2025-20.
Thank you.
Partially signed by
me. Okay. Any questions about this? I guess I should do this first. Do I have a motion to read resolution 2025-20 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Ted. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Please read resolution 2025-20 by title only.
Resolution 2025-20, petition to appeal for an increase above the maximum levy.
Okay. Any other questions?
I move we accept. 2025-20.
Motion to approve resolution 2025-20. Okay. So Tad motions.
Second.
Second by Dan. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thank you. Sorry for the late notice on that.
And when you are signing, make sure that you're signing for and against Helms as well.
Yeah, there's a for on the left side and against on the right side. I appreciate the for side, not the against side. Next up is, I'll give you guys a chance to do that. So. Next up, we have a couple of changes on boards and commissions. They're your appointments, but I don't know, Jennifer, do you want to put things by? Jennifer and one of you want to talk about some of the changes?
I mean, I guess I'll talk about, well, they all kind of involve me in one way or another.
In some way or other, you're right.
So I will be stepping off of the plan commission and also the tree board. So that opens the opportunity for other people to step up for those if they are interested. I think we have some guidelines we need to follow on the plan commission one. It needs to be an elected official.
Or appointed person. Yeah, it has to be someone from inside city government. Yes.
Right. And I believe Leslie has some interest in that.
Yeah, Leslie volunteered to fill that position unless somebody else wants it. Yeah, you're kind of loaded. You're loaded out.
I'm overloaded.
I know how many you're on.
But I doubt that Brent would want it because I think he actually
is more.
I think that's what he does.
Yes, because I don't think he can do that.
So Leslie volunteered to take that position. And then we also have an opening in the tree board.
Mm-hmm. Tree board can be anybody in Whitley County.
Anybody in Whitley County can serve on the Columbia City Tree Board.
I have an idea.
Okay.
And I'll reach out to tomorrow.
And hopefully that person will care about trees and our tree canopy and maintaining our Tree City USA status.
Yep. Absolutely.
When does that take effect, or is it January or just ASAP?
Immediately.
Yeah. I think the term of this.
It started in 2024, so it would run through 2027.
For your term.
Mm-hmm.
For the end of 27.
And meeting is this week?
Third Tuesday at 6 o'clock.
Okay,
in
so
here.
Next week.
Third Tuesday.
Now, obviously, we won't have somebody appointed for next meeting, but
yeah,
it sounds like, what do you want them to do? Like, if Ted talks to somebody, you want him to get you the information?
Sure,
I can
do
it. Yep.
So we can be ready to roll.
Sounds good.
Do we have to have a vote?
Well, if you're going to appoint Leslie to the Plan Commission, yes, you need to take a vote on that. So there needs to be a nomination, a second, and then, yeah.
I nominate Leslie for the Planning Commission position.
Okay, then I make a motion.
That is his
motion.
Yep,
okay,
so I need a second. I did not hear that. I apologize. I have a motion to appoint Leslie to the now vacant Plan Commission spot, seconded by Dan. For the discussion, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Congratulations.
And then the last commission thing to mention is the Art Commission. I'm staying on Art Commission. However, we have a spot that expires on December 1st of this year. I have asked the person who's currently holding that spot if they want to continue, and I don't have an answer yet.
Okay. So let's, if you're
that
okay.
That is a council appointment.
That is a council, yes, that's a council appointment. So do you want to table it to the next meeting? So we'll table it to the next meeting on that, and then we'll also table tree board appointment to the next meeting as well. Cool?
Yep.
Okay. Very good. Department head reports. Mikey.
End of last week, we had a squirrel get into the substation, north substation, and it, when it,
what substation?
The north one. Up by the tower.
North one.
Well, it's up there. It's north.
Why do I have to put
don't
up with
this? Don't distract
us. Just keep going, Mike.
But anyhow, the squirrel had a big power outage.
Yes.
All of that. Well, our booster station between Starbucks and the hotel there took a bad hit from that. It blew up our VFD that runs one of the booster pumps. It also took out our SCADA system. And so with that, it was like we have to just get it back to running, because that supplies, it boosts the water across north, all north of 30. And if there's a fire, like, and Tom would attest to that, they would not have enough pressure to even hook to a hydrant. So Peerless just happened to be in town going over some other stuff. They went up there. They happened to have one in, I believe, their office in Peru. They went and got it, brought it back, hooked it back up, got us running. But then we had the problem with SCADA, so we got a hold of J&K. They've been working on it. They worked on it again today. We have that set to hook up to fiber. It's all ready to go, but the PLC that's in that station is obsolete and will not hook up to fiber. So we're in the process of trying to get another PLC, get it programmed and everything, so we can get it all hooked up. And then last night we had a fuse blow on well 8, which we're only running on 2 wells now because well 9 is still down. Called the electric guy in. We were able to find it. Had a fuse in the cupboard there, so we got it running. I don't know what else can go wrong. It's going to cost me more money. So when you're talking and saying you don't have money, this is what goes on. Also on South Whitley, there at Hannah, their surf net, when they bored their line in, went through a storm drain and did quite a bit of damage. They're going to be responsible for it, but what we did was we went and got a price from Wides to do the work, and we're going to furnish all the pipe and everything. They're going to dig it in for us and that, so.
And we'll just pay for the difference?
Huh?
Surf will just pay for it?
We're gonna send the whole bill.
Yeah, okay.
The whole bill for the pipe and everything.
Yeah.
But I just thought it would be cheaper for us to buy the pipe with our discount, mm-hmm. instead of paying wages to buy it and then paying a little additional. So we're trying to hold the money down as much as we can. We're going to work with wages, but they got a bigger piece of machinery to dig it than we got. So.
And they're also going to be doing some work on Jeffrey's Bay.
After Halloween, then they will be doing the water line on Jeffrey Drive. They will lay the line, and we will pressure test it, disinfect it, and then we will go back in and do the taps and that.
Gotcha.
It's just, they're, when they start laying the line, they can move faster than us because they don't have to stop for other things like, you know.
Well, and again, you guys have been working on lead lines and some things like that that have taken your time away. We had thought we were going to have this Jeffrey Drive thing taken care of by now, but because of some of the other
projects. We had two water main projects planned for this year. Mm-hmm. The one is done, so, you know, it's not been that bad, but then we had the problem with the lead lines mm-hmm. and that, so.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Any questions, Mike? Okay, thank you. Chip.
So over we had the, oh no, okay.
You're still 99.6% or 4%.
We had the ribbon cutting for the Blue River Trail, which I thought went really good. We are moving ahead with the railroad crossing for the ADA compliant railroad crossing on it. So that will take a couple months, but we are going ahead. And now if you guys pass this, I've got a BOT contract that's in the mayor's office that we can hopefully get sent out and get moving on that.
By contract, he means an RFQ.
RFQ, RFP. Yeah, sorry. Hopefully get that taken care of. Other than that, it's a lot of stuff up in the air right now.
Questions of Chip? Thanks to all three of you for showing up for our ribbon cutting today. Really appreciate that. Again, this, and I said it today, but I'll say it again, the trail is being used A lot. A lot.
I see people running over it every day.
Yes, and not just people running, but I've seen, you know, parents pushing strollers with little kids in it. I've seen, you know, individuals biking back and forth on it. Obviously, we have the sports teams, the cross-country teams that are, I think cross-country, that are using it.
High school kids
walking to school. So it is a fantastic investment for our community. It's a fantastic investment in safety for those students. And so I think... you okay? Starting to get worried about you. So anyway, it's a really great thing. And I just appreciate so many partners that were a part of that. I mentioned a lot of them, but, you know, again, obviously you guys are a part of that. The DNR, DECO Foundation, Community Foundation of Whitley County, the county government for giving us that area where we could go behind their property, the different businesses and homes along the way. We had some different donors and some different other individuals that were a part of that. Lori Shipman did a great job with the grant. We just had, I know I'm missing somebody along this process, but our contractors and everybody just did a great job. There are still some punch list items, as mentioned earlier. There are some punch list items we still have to do to get the trail to the 100.0% complete portion, but we're getting there. The railroad, did you mention the railroad crossing? And when that's going to be?
Go ahead.
No, you
didn't. But yeah.
In December.
Yes.
So I
didn't get the news about the bond and the cost.
Yeah, so if you guys had known, we had a very large application fee that we're going to have to pay, and then probably close to $600,000 to redo the railroad track. Well, we got in touch with the right person. The application under $2,000. Total cost of the work is going to be under $40,000, and we should have it done by December.
Yeah.
So a lot of good things happening.
So thankfully, we don't have to come up with another $500,000 for the railroad crossing. So
it's a positive attitude that brings good things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it. So, it's like a genie in the bottle.
Thank you, Chip. Any other questions? Thank you. Matt.
Mother-son was awesome this year again. Thanks to Melinda and Andrea for putting that all together. Also, thanks to the volunteers that helped and the department heads that sent trucks up and guys to be able to let the kids go in and out of the trucks and see that. Just finished up the weekend playing at the high school for the JFL. The little kids were so stoked. It was amazing to see the adrenaline rush that they had when they were out there on the field. And our guys worked with the street department for a short piece of trail. And other than that, it's just we're getting ready to start closing things up for winter.
Questions, Matt? Thank you. Kelly?
As Matt mentioned, the trail in Columbia Shores was 400-foot stretch, 8-foot wide, and there was a concrete quote that Matt got for a contractor to do it, and I got a quote from the Milestone to do asphalt in there just to see what that would cost, and it was like $45,000 to do that. We got our guys together and some of Matt's guys and had about $9,000 in concrete, so that was a pretty good savings. And it was pretty cool to see the guys working together. And Jason Wells does an awesome job leading that crew. So big shout out to everybody involved in that. Appreciate the hard work. We finished limb pickup the 6th of this month for the year. And we're starting to transition into leaf pickup, which will start next Monday. And we pulled our machines inside and had to do some maintenance on some of the machines. I think we're ready to go on that. We got our approval letter from Purdue LTAP. We have to get a certificate of approval before December 1st each year before we can submit anything to community crossings projects. So that was something we just got done. And then two of our guys have been helping wastewater clean lift stations with our jet machine. So staying busy doing that this week.
Questions of Kelly? Thank you. Tom?
Big surprise. First of all, I apologize for my voice. 101's got a broken leaf spring. Somehow it broke and ejected it, and we didn't even know it until the guys noticed that the right rear was squatting about 2 inches lower than the left rear. So took it down to Adam. He was pretty busy and tied up with a bunch of projects. So ended up taking it down to Heavy Spring, and after Chris, that Heavy Spring, I'm sorry, not Heavy Spring, Heavy Truck. And after Chris crawling underneath it a couple times down there, noticed that one of the springs was missing, and so it's on order. He said it's okay to use, but for short term, but long term, you need to get that spring ordered and get it put back in. So that truck will be getting repaired. 107. I reported a couple weeks ago that we'd had some work done on the waterway to have the new seal scrapers put on and new seals put on the waterway and rub pads for the sections of ladder. First time we had to use that truck was last week, and it was leaking pretty good. So I contacted the company that did the work, and they're sending a driver up tomorrow to come pick that truck up and take it back down to Indy. They will, at their cost, repair the truck and then return it with one of their drivers. So we're not taking our manpower out again to make those deliveries with that truck. So, and then it also has to, it's got an air actuator on a, for the transfer case that puts in and out of pump gear. And that air actuator let loose too on us. So it's still functioning. It's just that it leaks a lot of air past it, which losing air on a truck with uses air brakes is not a good thing. So you want to get those minimized. As Gary said earlier, the Family Safety Festival went well. I think for us, the prop that we borrowed from Warsaw for the Firefighter Challenge went really well. Kids really enjoyed it. Of course, everybody liked the live demonstration too of the Jaws of Life when we do the extrication. And talking to Ashley, we may actually change that up next year to see if we can't come up with, there's tons of things we can do, so do something different, because that's 2 years in a row we've done the extrication, so maybe we'll put a shed out there catching a fire or something. I'm kidding. No, we'll come up with something.
But are you
exciting?
Are you kidding though?
Am I?
Question at the top. Thank you. Hannah?
At our last meeting, I wasn't there, but I got the report from people that were there. And the first thing they did was they talked about the plans for the city. So at the beginning of every meeting, we ask the mayor about all the rumors we've heard of, like, what building's going up, what the road closure's for, what's happening. And then this year we're learning about county government, and so we took, like, a pretest kind of on it, and then divided up into groups and played a game about what we learned based off of what we got wrong on the test. And then for lunch, we went to downtown West Square, and then our service project was cleaning up the trails, which is always a favorite.
Questions?
Leslie, we may need more candy because she's been eating candy like crazy over here.
Thank you. Leslie?
I have nothing.
A couple other reports. Mike Cook, I forgot to say this in Florida work, so... Mike Cook, there was an IDEM, he reviewed the IDEM report. We had a facility inspection on 9-9, and we just sent the response, the official response on 10-3. Spectra Tech started their cleaning process on 9-29. Probably, if you've seen the city's Facebook page, you saw them power washing. That is not our drinking water. That is a wastewater thing. So just in case that gets... question. We did replace an ARV on the Steel Dynamics Force Main. That's an air release valve on 10-7. We are doing the annual biomonitoring. Fuel tanks on all lift station generators have been topped off for the year, and they're continuing to work on the stink and ammonia issue that we've been having for months now. We've had passing results since 10-2, but he says, I'm not getting excited yet. So we'll see where that is. And he is out on vacation right now. But besides that, let me load up the others here. Terry says they installed new Buffalo units at the MSF and they're moving data at this time. Worked with ESO on fire department software. There's issues with the company SonicWall Breach. So SonicWall is our kind of firewall. There was an issue with their company was breached. That happened approximately 4 weeks ago. The company advised this week that it was more serious than they thought, and there were significant things that needed attention. Now, when I heard that, alarms started going off in my head, and Terry calmed me down and said, it's not that they breached our system, they breached the SonicWall company system, so they've already put things in place to protect us, if that makes sense. So none of, because I asked specifically, was any of our customer or citizen data? He said no, it was that they had a breach of the company, and there's no evidence at all that our system was breached, because that's not where they breached at, if that makes sense. So anyways, I calmed down after he told me that. So lastly, Sean's report is Osmos has finished doing their pull testing on the system. He is waiting for the test reports, but he does think we're going to have quite a few more pulls that are going to have to be changed out. And they are doing pull changes from the last round of testing that they did. He is at the annual Indiana Municipal Electric Association meeting and conference. Jason Buckles and Angie Hildebrand began commercial customer audits for the year, and hopefully they have worked through and they won't find any additional errors. They've done this three times now to make sure that our commercial customers are squared away and stuff. As Mike had noted, last Friday we had two separate wildlife outages. That's a nice way of saying it. One squirrel locked out the main breaker at the West substation on Friday morning, and that caused a 15-minute outage for nearly 2,000 customers. You probably heard about that one because a fair amount of the city was out on that one. The second squirrel event occurred Friday afternoon, but only caused a blink to a few customers that were affected. So ultimately, not a huge amount of people impacted that way, but just we did have some. So FYI on that one. Okay. A couple other things to note here. I've already talked about the ribbon cutting. Tomorrow I'm hosting the Mayors and Commissioners Caucus here at actually showing off the new high school. We're going to have it there hosted because it's fall break, so it opens up that opportunity for us to host it there, which is great. You may have noticed if you walk by my office, there's some work being done in there from painting right now, and we'll be doing flooring and stuff. And for the taxpayers' information, that is done by insurance. That's being paid for by insurance because we had a water leak that created the flooring issue, and so we were able to fix up a few of those things that were impacted, if you will, by the water issue that we were having. Next week is the AIM Ideas Summit, so I will be out. I know some of you are going as well. I will be out of the office from Monday through Thursday for that summit. That's the annual Cities and Towns Conference that a lot of us will actually be at. It's a huge, not quite week, of education. Education on the new laws that have changed, on new projects and policies, and all kinds of things that we get to learn a lot about. And one thing I hope that the individuals that watch this know that when we go down, we kind of like divide and conquer. So we'll have some people in this workshop and some people in this workshop and some people in this workshop. And the nice thing is we get to learn from other communities and we get to learn from the experts in those fields. And I always find it to be super, super valuable time because I come back with a, ooh, look at all the five other things now that we can do that I can add to my plate and add to their plate. So in any case, really thankful for that. Last night, Ryan Addison, who's in our audience here, was elected to replace Jenny on December 1st or whatever the date that is as the new Southeast District City Council member. So we welcome Ryan to that position in December. But I know that he's already hit the ground running. I gave him a full thick packet of information about from the AIM the book, the AIM book, if you will, about city council and taxes and mayor stuff and all kinds of stuff. So I know he's working hard through through that pack of information, so appreciate you doing that. And then also yesterday at the caucus, Stacey Petrovis was elected. We were all there. We were all there, so I've already said it, so I won't go through it again. But welcome, Stacey, as our new county commissioner. I think that's all I have for right now, unless there's something else I forgot. Okay, Dan, do you want to say anything about exit conference today? Oh. The State Board of Accounts, since you were there?
Well, yeah, we just had a State Board of Accounts exit conference. Everything, as much as I can say, it went well. They're very impressed with Leslie and Leslie's working, and so the city's in good shape.
Yep.
We'll find out a little more down the road here. But
we are sworn to confidentiality, but at the very least, so you know, we did have our State Board of Accounts exit conference, the three of us, and Rosie sat in on that, and it was pretty positive. There's always things we can work on, but it was a pretty positive meeting. So, so thanks. Jennifer.
Okay, I have multiple things to mention here. First of all, 2 weeks ago, I attended the Indiana Landmarks Foundation Historic Preservation Conference in Fort Wayne, and similar to AIM, you go there expecting one thing, and you end up with a lot of other things, and some of those things I think are helpful to our city.
Yeah.
I was there in my capacity as county historian, but again, found things that would be helpful for the city, so I'll probably be sending you things in your email pertaining to that.
Sure.
The Arts Commission is currently working on this year's calendar, and this year we are doing Historic Artists of Whitley County. So this will be something new and different. Last year was Current Artists of the Community, and this will be past.
Cool.
And we'll have biographical sketches, and we're partnering with the museum on that.
Cool.
And it's also hopefully, I think, going to be part of the America 250.
Wow,
it's
very
an
good.
Official project of that, so that will be good.
Yes.
While the weather is still reasonable, it seems like a good time to remind people to think about the municipal lighting contest, and they might want to have their decorations up by December 1st. Even though that seems kind of far off, it's probably going to get crappy sooner than later. So if you want to participate in that this year, now would be a good time to start decorating for it.
I told my wife today, because our rule is the day after Thanksgiving, we can start playing Christmas music. So 44 days until I can start playing Christmas music in and around my house.
Okay, so 44 days.
Until the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
So
what is the day after Thanksgiving? It's the Christmas parade.
It's the Christmas parade.
So there will be information coming soon about that.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Christmas lighting, municipal lighting contest, always a fun thing we get to do, and I know that you guys enjoy traveling around the city.
We do. It's very time consuming.
Yes.
For a couple of weeks there. Every year we find that there are streets that didn't exist last year, which is a good thing because we're a growing community.
That's true.
But also that's more streets to find the winners. So if people who are watching this right now could be reminded, if you can have your decorations up by December 1st, that would be super. If you feel strongly that we should come check you out on the beginning end of our judging, by all means, send me an email to jromano@columbiacity.net.
Thank you.
It was super fun. Hartley and I took several nights last year and went around several of the districts and
took notes.
Sent them on to Jennifer.
That's so awesome. Yes.
It does help to know.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard when you go down a neighborhood, there's not much lit up, and then all of a sudden, they're like right down the end of this road, oh my goodness, there's this masterpiece right now.
Right.
I know what kind of lighting situations you like, and it may be a little different than what
I like
but
chaos. Dan likes good lighting.
Clear, strong. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I like stuff that are not 8,000 blow-ups. You know, I like
everything happens.
Chaos. You like all that stuff.
Yeah.
I have it all.
Yeah, we have a lot of great discussions.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a super fun thing to do every year.
Yes.
And definitely enjoy that a lot. So that will be coming up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, and a reminder to people, by all means, if you've won in previous years, still participate.
Yes.
So we do try to not pick winners back to back.
Consecutive years, yes. So if you won last year, please decorate your house, but know that you're not up for consideration this year.
And also encourage your neighbors.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Great. Thank you. Tad.
We had redevelopment today. There were a lot of things going on with that, but we did finalize the swap of parking lots. The lot at the corner of Line and Jackson, we swapped with a parking lot that the county had at the corner of Washington and Van Buren Street. So it's been in the works for a while.
Yep.
So that got finalized.
That's another legacy chat project,
yep.
I think. So.
Yep. So, but it's finalized. So.
Great. Thank you very much.
I have one more thing.
Yes.
I forgot to mention. State Board of Accounts will be here tomorrow.
A different State Board of Accounts.
Yeah, for a different reason, but let's say Tuesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, and then maybe Monday, Tuesday. So Dan and I actually have the entrance interview on Thursday at 9 o'clock, and then we'll have an exit interview
shortly thereafter
once she's done.
And that's for ARPA, right?
That's
for ARPA funds,
yeah.
So it's outside of our normal budget stuff, which, again, State Board of Accounts was in to do 23 and 24. That's what our exit conference was today. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. We have no press. Anything from the audience? No. Okay. Then with that, we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.